RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
People on State Highway 2 between Omokoroa and Karikari, I know it well, are furious because NZTA are putting up lots of barriers. If you've been through there, have you noticed? People have to drive 6Ks extra to get home. It's bad for business. And it's obviously getting on the nerves of people. So we want to find out more about this. So I want to welcome Gino De Graaf, who is a road user representative. Hi, Gino. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And Mike Williams, former local councillor. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Paul. Yep, I'm a local here and I live up Work Road, which is one of our roads that will be affected by wire barriers going past our intersection.
Okay. Well, as I say in the intro, I know it well. I lived in Tauranga for 4 years and knew people in Omokoroa and had family up in Karikari. I've travelled that stretch a lot. I noticed last time we came in there, I think it was last Christmas holidays, there was a huge line of traffic into Karikari and then another huge line into Tauranga. I know that's got nothing to do with, or maybe it has with this, but it wasn't like that back in the day, is all I'd say.
Well, that would be true, but the huge lines will probably get worse as a result of these roundabouts, all these roundabouts and wire barriers, because traffic will just won't be able to get past anywhere.
Okay, so take us through this work that's going on and why is it causing such a problem? Because wire barriers are good. These are the barriers to stop people going over the centre line and going head-on into people. Is that right?
Yeah,
is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah, that's correct, Paul. We're not opposed to the centre barrier. We have been for years asking NZTA to be sensible and allow right turns into the side roads that they are cutting off.
Okay.
So we have at least 8 side roads that will be closed, and those roads will have probably near on 1,000 households on them.
Okay, so you won't be able to turn right to cross because the barriers are in the way, or they just rule that out anyway?
The barrier will stop you turning right. NZTA will make you go 3 kilometres to the next roundabout to do a U-turn to come back to the road you passed previously, your own road.
But, there are examples all over the place where you can turn right off a motorway speed road as long as you're looking, and it's just a little gap in the barrier, isn't it?
It's only a short gap. And the actual effect of the efficiency, like the argument that NZTA have pitched, is that we have to have no gaps to save lives. But in reality, the gaps have very little effect on the outcome of saving lives because they're already safe turns to make.
And people have been doing them for decades and decades, right?
Absolutely.
That's correct, Paul. And you've got to also remember that this state highway has had over $100 million spent on it in the last 4 years, where every intersection has been improved with right in and right out and have been widened. And the speed limit has been dropped to 80 kilometres an hour. So it used to be the Wild West, but now it's the road has been tamed.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to, was it you, Mike, who just said a moment ago that no gap can be tolerated because no threat to life could exist, or it kind of gave me that impression.
The argument that NZTA and the engineers have said is that we have to have no gaps because the gaps will affect their outcomes, which is all about the low zero. But in all reality, these intersections are safe and they just blanket approaching, putting the barriers right across and right through, no questions asked, no compromise.
And Paul, I'll just add to that, the only place at this stage where they are probably not going to put a barrier past an intersection is the only place in the last 10 or 12 years that's had a death from an intersection. So all the other intersections had no deaths and virtually no serious accidents, but they're all getting their barriers across the front of them, except for this one road where 5 people were killed.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So, well, I mean, it's terribly tragic, and I wasn't laughing before for anything except how ironic.
I know.
Where's the data? You can make claims about, road to zero, and, if no one drove cars on the road, it probably would be close to zero, but that's never going to fly. If you were serious about a road to zero, you'd try and stop everyone driving or make it inconvenient. It seems to be that they're making it inconvenient. But have you seen any data to back up such a sweeping claim?
No, we haven't seen the data, but the data that they have used was based on about 2016, before any roadworks were done and the road were improved, but they have taken no data since that time, since the improvements have been done. And we're asking them to stop and let these improvements be in place for at least 2 years and then take some data and see what the results are. But they're hell-bent on this the old Labor government policy of roads to zero, and they have blinkers on and nothing will change them.
More who still think the war's on. Haven't woken up to the fact that it ended a while back. But surely that's more fuel consumed, more emissions released, more noise, obviously increased congestion, and I guess anyone operating a heavy or diesel-powered vehicle, probably more road user charges, I'm thinking.
That is so correct. And what you're not considering is these roundabouts, the approaches and exits of these roundabouts will consume the energy used to move vehicles through those slower areas, through the transmissions, is higher. It's not an efficient mode through there.
And Paul, just on those vehicle kilometres travelled, I did a very rough analysis, and on the roads that have been closed, it would amount to around 6 million VKT a year. That's based on the number of vehicles going in and out of all these side roads, and I pull that data from the Western Bay District Council, because they have the vehicle kilometres travelled up and down each road.
So block off all the exits. and make them pay more is
that's correct.
Gee, okay.
The other thing that it's sort of not people are not aware of, but it's the disconnect that it creates for our community. For example, if I normally go into Katikati, that's my hometown, but to me, it's going to be far quicker for me now if these barriers go through to go to Omokoroa and come back. I'll only have to have an extra kilometre or so out of my way instead of seven. Whereas Gino, he's got I'll let him tell you his story about that.
So I'm resident on Lunn Road, and the crazy thing about it is Lunn Road is 300 metres from the new roundabout that they've installed, but yet they will still close our exit, even though the speeds in and out of that area are very low. For me to visit Katikati, my own town, where I shop and where I do my business, I have to travel twice the distance, basically. For me to visit my brother, who lives on a road, just one road further, I have to travel a lot further to visit my family. It's just simple as that. What's really annoying is NZTA have constantly painted us as being pained by inconvenience, when the inconvenience is not the main factor in the equation. They've painted us as spoiled brats who don't want to travel further, but really it's fundamentally a disconnect and a huge amount of arrogance displayed by the entity NZTA to not compromise.
Yeah, well, it's not really very people-centric, is it?
No, it's definitely not. Another real concern of ours is the emergency services.
Yeah, a good point. Yeah.
They say that the emergency services can do U-turns at the end of at the end of the barriers, because I don't know whether you are familiar with it. So the barriers are going to stop about 200 metres before the bridges. So for me, it's easier for me just to do a U-turn at the end of my barrier and come home from there, which is only like a couple of hundred metres down the road.
Hmm.
So people will do that, which will actually make the road far more dangerous.
Yeah, that's an illegal U-turn, I take it.
Well, then it must be illegal for emergency services as well, and anyone else who does it too.
Well, that's obvious that that could cause all sorts of problems. Imagine someone trying to do a quick UE and people are sailing past it. How fast?
Yeah, and the people will do UEs. They will do UE. Yeah.
So the work is underway, is it? It's been done or is underway?
Yes, it's just started.
Okay.
The drilling holes and beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Have you talked to any of the emergency services, local emergency services people about how they feel about it? Just curious.
Well, we have, but they tend to spout the fish line. So I have just got an OIA in now to the emergency services to find out what correspondence I've had with NZTA concerning this, to see if there actually was any correspondence between the two parties. But NZTA are very, very difficult to get information out of, and they are arrogant in the extreme, and they have this single-minded vision of trying to create this super safe highway without even, well, they do say they have consulted with us, but not in a meaningful way. With the consultation that they did do, probably 90% of all respondents were against the wire barriers going past intersections.
This is a common theme where they claim to have consulted. The people who got a chance to say stuff were given very time-compressed, kind of flustered moment to get their story out. And then even if the numbers were huge against something, it didn't seem to matter. So this is a pattern.
Totally. And it's just a tick a box. They actually, the consultation occurred, but the deal was done.
Exactly.
They had the plan sorted. It was a tick a box. We've talked to the people. They actually, you know, they stopped consulting with the people as soon as they figured out that we were not happy.
Yeah.
That's when it stops and they're not interested in talking anymore. And boy, have we tried for the last 2 or 3 years to get any kind of compromise or shifting of thinking, and there's been none.
Yeah, what happens when, you know, someone's doing that UE? And I take it those, from memory, a lot of those bridges are quite narrow.
They are very narrow, yes.
And they're dangerous.
Yeah, so you're layering danger upon danger. You know, someone gets killed or multiple. What do they do then? Are they going to say, oh, we're so sorry, we didn't see
that
coming?
They would have moved on and said this. What they don't account for is the impact we have on rural residents where the emergency services need to get to an address.
Yeah.
And the delays cause if your house is on fire and all that kind of, they don't care about the statistics.
Yeah, there's all of that, yeah.
They don't care about that statistics beyond the state highway.
Boy, if an ambulance was late to someone I loved because of that, I'd be hopping mad.
Mm. Well, that could easily happen, Paul, because, you know, like if they were up Work Road and add another 6 or 7 minutes to an ambulance coming to a heart attack,
it'd be the diff. Yep.
That'd probably be too late, because my medical friends tell me that every minute is absolutely critical.
Yep. Wow. So what happens now? We're talking about it now. But what happens with this, do you think?
Well, we've tried the official line, and we've been trying to get some reasoning. But now we're protesting and we're putting signs up. We're constantly doing efforts to get information and gather people on board to help us with this. So it's really kind of, it's going to come out of our hands where local people are going to act out and probably in the legal fashion to make themselves be heard.
We've approached politicians. Our local politician has been quite helpful in trying to get some common sense, but I've approached Simeon Brown on several occasions. I've had one automatic reply, but nothing else. I've tried to arrange a meeting with him and Simon Bridges, who is the chairman of NZTA, but to try and get an audience with those guys is absolutely impossible, it seems, at the moment. And we just don't know what our next moves are, except for probably people taking action into their own hands and being disruptive.
Well, what else can you do?
Yeah.
That's about all we can do. We have visited every MP that serves around this area. We have visited with NZTA. And we have written so many letters to these politicians that their inbox must be overflowing. So I don't know what else we can do to get the message out there that we're not happy.
Well, I think you're kind of getting it out through us anyway, and I can tell you're not happy. And it's okay to have safe roads, but, you know, we've also got the practicalities of life. Don't need to tell you guys or anyone, really. And, you know, the road toll, you're never going to drive it to zero, are you, ever?
So there was always a ridiculous target. Who aims for 100% in the test?
Yeah, exactly. There's always going to be weird situations and scenarios never thought of that will come up, because that's just life. Okay, well, interesting finding out about this. Doesn't sound like a very smart move at all. And maybe with us talking about it, someone's out there listening that might be able to make a difference. I'm sure our audience is thinking about this, a bit worried about this pattern of play that they have, where they faux consultation. They've already made up their minds. I don't know who gives them the information. Gosh, the public service were really, well, I don't know if it was that or the other way around, but that last government, boy, what magical spell did they hold over these people delivering these ridiculous things?
What's actually what's concerning, Paul, is the fact that we have for years been asked to consult on numerous issues, but what really happens is the attitude we have now is a deep sense of apathy where we don't believe we've been listened to.
Yeah, that's so a good point.
What is the point to doing anything about anything? And this is the deep frustrations we all feel about it. We are asked, and then they say they're listening, but really they're not. So then you have this whole attitude around that's basically an apathy kind of, well, what can we do?
One kicks up a fuss on anything, and they just have to take it and suck it up.
And how long can you do that for until something happens?
And then everyone runs for cover under the rock or out from under it. The other thing too is, and maybe you could give us a view on this, there's a lot of arrogance there. It's kind of like normal people to these other people are sort of kind of dumb and not very bright and couldn't even comprehend what they were trying to do, so there's no point in trying to tell them. There seems to be that level of arrogance seems to come across. Do you think so?
You're absolutely right, Paul, and I tell you what, there's some very, very clever people up these side roads. You'd be absolutely amazed. People have made millions and millions of dollars by using their brains, and for the arrogance of NZTA just to come along and unilaterally cut us off. You know, if I said to you, okay, Paul, every time you want to go home, you've got another 6 Ks to go, even though your doorway, you go past your doorway.
No.
How would people in town feel about that? That it just wouldn't happen. But these guys, and the other thing I'd like to point out is I've travelled a lot around New Zealand, and particularly I've noticed where the wire barriers are in New Zealand, and nowhere have I seen wire barriers go past intersections anywhere. Even in the new piece of highway barriers along State Highway 1 south of Cambridge, they still allow all the side roads to have access. And
yeah, so why this road?
Exactly. Tell me.
They tell us it's to save lives, but it's all about old numbers, old data, prior to all the safety work that we've already endured for 4 or 5 years. And we just ask them to rest up, let it sit, measure the data, and then put the barriers. We're not against barriers, which is all we've always said. We're not against barriers. We just want to make sure the barriers are put where they make sense and where they will save lives.
Yeah, that again, that use of data and statistics is a reoccurring pattern. It always seems to be the worst case scenario modeling or data used. And in many cases, or some cases, and I'm thinking about coastal adaptation here, it's been discredited as not fit for policy making, and other more realistic scenarios are recommended for that. So, you know, who knows if in this case, you find the worst data, you cherry pick it, and then you make your case, and anyone who argues against it, well, they don't know science, they don't know nothing.
Or how can you argue against a claim they make we're saving lives? We're really against it. Don't you want to save lives? Of course we want to save lives.
Want to kill grandma.
That's right. It's exactly.
We've heard that before.
That's how they turn our community on each other, because the people that think that they were going to save lives, we're ones that are sensible, want to turn into our roads.
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
Crikey.
But, Paul, we've also given, you know, suggested options that they could use. Like some roads would be quite adequate to have a left out and a right in.
That's correct.
We've suggested that option to them. And the other option we've suggested is a seagull, which I'm not sure whether you're familiar with that terminology in transport, but you have when you're turning into a road, you have a concrete barrier on your left-hand side and you stop before you cross the highway. And then when you go out, you have also have that concrete barrier on your left-hand side, and you merge with the traffic flowing past you. And there's a lot of those around New Zealand.
Oh, but they can't do that.
They work very well, but they said to me, oh, that's old technology. Well,
oh, here we go, technocrats again.
You know, so is electricity, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other argument, the other point they like to bring up is that the funds, the project has been fully funded, and they cannot change this project now because it's paid for. Well, why don't we look at the Ontario Islander and say, well, how about you do that there then? And you can do that here, can't you?
Well, you could easily hacksaw some of the cabling and tie it off and cosmetically restore each end and have the turn and the road available. So I can't see that being rocket science.
No, but the fact that they say it's funded, they have to spend the money
Spend the money, yeah, okay.
That is the problem. They say,
well, who's funding it ultimately? Is this part of the BlackRock thing?
Well, you and I are, Paul, with our road taxes.
Yeah,
but we have very little say. See, boffins at Wellington.
I'm not too far away from them right now. It's a crow fly. Okay, well, that's been really interesting to hear about, and thank you for coming on and telling the story, Gino De Graaf and Mike Williams. We appreciate it. And let's see, you know, people can share this amongst folk. And now, do you have a website or a social media presence where people can go in and find out more and make contact?
Not particularly, Paul. No, we've been lobbying hard in our roads. We've got our road networks where we have road representatives for our side roads.
Yeah.
We work within Facebook as well.
Maybe is there a Facebook name? Because that's a good...
Not currently, there isn't.
Okay, well, that might be something.
A lot of it's very local.
Want to crank it up? Yep. Well, now more people know. And, of course, you can be able to share when this becomes a replay. You'll be able to share that as well.
Anyone listening, be aware because this could be coming to you. This exact same policy be rolled out elsewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, Gino De Graaf and Mike Williams, thank you for coming on RCR. Gino, road user representative. Mike, former local councillor. Thanks for coming on RCR.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.